would just unite our hearts together in prayer at the throne of grace. Let us just look to the Lord, praying in faith, looking to the Lord for his help and blessing in our season of worship here today. Our loving God, our gracious, eternal, heavenly Father, we come into thy holy presence, O God, today, and in through the precious name of thy Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, O God, we approach unto thee. Father, we thank thee today for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, the only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And Father, we thank thee, O God, today for the sinless, perfect, spotless life of Christ, the Lamb of God, he who knew no sin, he who did no sin. And Father, we thank thee today that he is the altogether lovely one. And Father, we thank thee that he went willingly to the cross of Calvary to die there upon that cruel cross for our sins. He became a curse for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And Father, we thank thee that there upon that cross he cried out, "It is finished." He offered himself without spot unto God. And we thank thee, O God, that he made a full and a complete atonement for sin. And Father, we thank thee, O God, that the price of our redemption has been paid in full. And Father, we thank thee that he rose again victorious the third day, and that he is alive forevermore. And Father, we thank thee that he is seated at thy right hand in heaven's glory, at the throne of the majesty on high. And Father, we thank thee for all that we have today in Christ, our Redeemer. We thank thee for that blood of sprinkling that speak of better things than that of Abel's. We thank thee through the blood of Christ as your people, we have been redeemed into the family and fold of God. We thank thee today, O God, for cleansing and for pardon from sin through the blood of Christ. Thy word assures us that the blood of Jesus Christ, thy Son, that it cleanseth us from all sin. And Father, we thank thee that through the blood of Christ, we who once were afar off are now made nigh. We have been reconciled unto God by the death of thy Son. We thank that Christ has made peace for us guilty sinners by the blood of the cross. And we rejoice, O God, in the blood of Christ, that we've been redeemed with that blood, that it has lost none of its ancient power. And Father, we thank thee, O God, that thou hast said in thy word, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. We thank thee, Lord, that the believer in Christ, who is the blood of Christ, applied by faith to their heart, can look forward with hope to heaven, with hope to glory, and knowing that because of Christ, their Redeemer, and the blood applied, that they're saved from the wrath to come. And thank thee today, Lord, that this is our hope. And we thank thee for the words of this psalm that we've been singing, how the psalmist could praise the Lord, that thou didst lift him out of the miry clay, out of the horrible pit. Thou didst establish his way. Thou didst put a song of praise into his heart and soul. And Father, we thank thee for the song of thy salvation in our heart and in our souls today. And we thank thee, Lord, that thou hast but blessing for those that rely upon thee and trust in the Lord their God. And we thank thee today for salvation. We thank thee, O God, today for all the mercies of God that thou dost give to us, every good and every perfect gift. We thank thee for health and strength and freedom and liberty here to gather in the house of God with like people of precious faith. And Father, we thank thee that Christ has promised that where two or three are gathered together in my name, he has said, there am I in the midst. And we pray, O God, from this opening hymn, even to the last amen tonight, that here in thy house, we will know a very gracious, conscious, definite sense of the presence of the Lord. Shut us in with thyself. Bless all who have gathered with us here today. Think of those also listening in online. Meet the need of every heart. Bless every believer in Christ. Strengthen thy people. Build us up, O God, in our most holy faith. Any, Lord, that may be cold at heart, give that restoring, reviving touch that comes from the Lord, O God, we pray. And Father, for any with us here listening in on saved, speak to them, O God. O Lord, convict them of their sin, of their lost condition. And this day, Lord, may they come in faith and in repentance unto Christ, trusting him alone for salvation, we pray. Again, Lord, we think of those connected with us who are aged and infirm, who can no longer come to thy house. Lord, bless them and minister to them. We pray, Lord, for those in treatment at this time and needs, physical needs. Lord, bless them and minister to them by the grace and power of God. Remember, Lord, those that may be shielding also. May your hand of mercy and protection be upon them, we pray. And for those that mourn and grieve, have suffered loss in recent times, we pray that thou wilt comfort their hearts, as only thou canst give comfort, and fill that vacant chair with the presence of God, and be their helper in their time of need. We thank thee, Lord, for our Sunday school Bible class this morning. Bless the ministry of thy word to our children, to our young people. Lord, may each one of them come to know the Lord Jesus Christ personally as their Savior, and walk in the ways of God and be protected from the evil influences of this world. Bless our youth fellowship. Remember that all the children reached through the Bethel Children's Crusade. And likewise, we pray that these children will set their hope in God and walk in the ways of the Lord and be saved, we beseech of thee. We thank thee for those that heard thy word in the open air yesterday. And bless those who passed by, those who read the text, O God, we pray. And Lord, use this to save souls in Enniskillen town. Bless our land today, O God. Remember all our sister congregations, each minister, student, and layman who will preach your word. May the blessing of God be upon them. And wherever thy word is faithfully preached in this land, north and south of the border, England, Scotland, and Wales, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt bless every faithful ambassador for God, and that thou wilt visit these islands, we pray, irrespective of the borders there might be, and visit them, Lord, with revival and with days of reformation again and days of grace. Remember our missionaries today as well, laboring at home, and those far from home, O God, and other parts of the world. May your blessing be upon them, protect them, encourage them, and use them, O God, we pray, for the extension of thy kingdom, we ask. Do remember our nation here, Lord. We realize as a nation we've sinned against thee, we've gone far from God. Lord, as a nation we seem to be turning our backs more and more upon the word of God. Have mercy, Lord. Be pleased to restrain the tide of evil. And Lord, be pleased to turn our land back to thyself. And these laws that have come in, Lord, contrary to your word, we pray that thou wilt restrain those who would seek to promote them and seek to prosper them, O God. And we pray, O God, that thou would turn the nation back to yourself, we pray. Remember those that rule over us. May they rule in righteousness and in the fear of God, we pray. May they realize there's a God in heaven that they must give account to. Remember our royal family. Have mercy upon them. And may the light of thy truth and the light of the gospel shine upon that household, we pray. And may there be a turning away from darkness and superstition and false religion, and a turning to God and to Christ and to the gospel, O God, we do pray. Father, just bless us now, we pray, around thy word today. Speak to us, and Lord, lead us and guide us by thy Holy Spirit in our thoughts and deliberations, O God, today. Lord, we do confess our sins before thee, even, Lord, as thy people, sins of omission, things that we've failed to do. As the people of God, forgive us and cleanse us from that. And Lord, sins of commission, things that we should not have done that we have done as the people of God. And Lord, give us victory over sin and help us to subdue our iniquities day by day as the people of God. And that by thy power and by thy grace, O God, that we might live in our homes, in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, Lord, to the glory of God, that we might be bright and shining testimonies for the Savior. Abide with us now, we pray. Pour out thy Spirit upon every waiting heart. Do every heart good. And Lord, we would pray, visit this house today with salvation blessing. This we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now we're going to turn today, please, in God's Word for our Bible reading to the Old Testament book of the Psalms. We're reading in Psalm number 18, and we're reading from verse 20 of that psalm just down to the end of verse 30. If you'd like to mark that passage, Psalm 18, and then also turning over to the New Testament book of John's Gospel, And we're reading from verse number 12 of John's Gospel, chapter 14, and going down just to the end of verse number 19. So if you'd like to mark those two passages, there's Psalm number 18, beginning a reading at verse 20, and then John's Gospel, chapter 14, beginning our reading at the verse number 12. Let us hear God's word as we read it together today. Psalm 18, verses 20 to 30. Here David is really speaking of God's favor toward him as a child of God. Psalm 18, verse number 20. He says, "The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful, and with an upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the froward thou wilt show thyself froward. Thou wilt save the afflicted people, but wilt bring down high looks. For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God I have leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler." That word buckler simply means shield. "He is a buckler to all them that trust in him." And then turning over, please, to John's Gospel, chapter 14, and verse number 12. Here the Lord Jesus Christ himself is speaking to his disciples. And he says in verse 12 of John 14, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also." Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 19. Our prayer is that God will bless this public reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. I want to welcome everyone this Lord's Day morning to the house of God. It's good to see so many gathered with us here today in God's house. We bid you a very special welcome. We pray if you're a believer today, may you be encouraged. And if you're not saved today, may this be the day of your salvation, your day of coming to Christ for the salvation of your soul. We do welcome also those who are viewing online as well, wherever you might be, wherever you might be. Our prayer is the Lord will richly bless you today around the Word of God and as we worship our Savior, Christ the Redeemer. The gospel service tonight is at 7 o'clock. Do remember that meeting, and we encourage you to come back. It's just for an hour, starting at 7, generally over by 8 o'clock. We encourage you to come along, pray for the gospel meeting, and do all you can to invite and encourage others in under the sound of God's word. Tuesday night, 8 o'clock here in our church, we're having a special missionary prayer meeting, and our brother, Mr. Robert McConnell, a children's evangelist with our own mission board, will be along to bring a report, an update on his work, to bring God's word, and also to do a PowerPoint presentation on that work. So do remember that. Our brother's coming a long way from Ballyhalbert, way up in the Ards Peninsula. So do come along and encourage him. And there'll also be an offering for that work. So do remember that, please, on Tuesday night. Also Thursday night, 8 o'clock, there'll be a meeting of the church committee. I'd ask the members, the brethren of committee, just to remember that, please. Also Tuesday night, 6:30, is the Tresna children's meeting. Friday night, 6:30, the children's meeting here in the church, followed by the Young People's Fellowship at 8 o'clock, and we commend that to all the boys and girls at 6:30 from the church here, and also Youth Fellowship, all the young people. All young people are welcome, at age 11 and over, and also welcome to bring friends as well from school or whatever. We'll be glad to see as many as possible of the youth with us on Friday evening. Next Lord's Day, the 16th of May, Sunday school and Bible class at 11 a.m., morning worship service at 12 noon. I belong to bring God's word. And then do please note the special Thanksgiving service for the centenary of Northern Ireland next Lord's Day afternoon. That meeting will be at 3:30 p.m., so do take note of that. The guest soloist will be our brother, Mr. George Walker from Lurgan. Our brother, Mr. Colin Maxwell, also will be giving a brief history of the establishment of Northern Ireland, and I'll be bringing God's word. So be much in prayer for that. Do make it known. It is something we should thank the Lord for. We have much to thank God for as a province, as a nation, over these 100 years. How important it is that we acknowledge the Lord publicly as a church, as a congregation, and just seek the Lord also for favor and for blessing, even in the days that lie ahead. So remember that. There's some wee invites for that out on the table in the porch. We encourage you to take those, give them out, and encourage visitors into that special meeting next Sunday afternoon at 3:30. Do please note there'll be no evening service on account of the afternoon meeting, so you'll have the evening free. So do remember that, please. The offering for our brother, Mr. Gareth McDowell, labouring in the Philippines, came to £569, for which we thank you sincerely in the Lord. And also the offering for the building fund last week came to £845, for which we thank you sincerely in the Lord. And then, as we mentioned at the prayer meeting on Tuesday night, we'd ask you please to be much in prayer as a congregation for the distribution of a gospel booklet. And the session and the committee are wanting to distribute this to every home in County Fermanagh via the post. It's really a gospel message that we've written around the little text, God is Love. So that'll be going out in the near future around the homes in County Fermanagh. Be much in prayer for that, that the Lord will go before and it'll be well received, and that through the printed page, God will speak and bless and save souls. But be much in prayer for that, please. The Vision magazine is available out there on the table in the porch. And can I draw your attention also to some little booklets are free out there, Is There Still a Cause, written by the late Dr. Alan Kearns, about the witness of the Free Presbyterian Church. And then another little covenanting book, Inside of Home, written by the Reverend David Linden. Those are free. They're out there on the table in the porch. Take those with you and give them out, and you'll find good, encouraging reading there. Word of thanks as well to all the men who helped just with the tidy up upstairs yesterday. It was very much appreciated. The offering plates are at the rear after the service this morning. And then, just as a church, we'd like to express our sincere Christian sympathy to the Vance family on the passing of Mrs. Vance, an elderly member here of the congregation who's attended for many years and days gone by, went home to be with the Lord on Tuesday. So do you remember her family in your prayers? Pray the Lord will comfort them, and that the Lord will fill that vacant chair with His presence and with His nearness and with His grace at this time of loss. That's really all by way of necessary announcements. We're going to turn again to that passage we read earlier, to John's Gospel, chapter 14. Turning to John's Gospel, chapter number 14. And just before we come to the preaching of God's Word, perhaps we could maybe just stand to our feet, a short word of prayer, just to change our position as we consider God's Word. Our Father and our God, we bring especially before Thee the bereaved today. We think of the Vance family. Give comfort there, we pray, to that family circle. And even through the home calling of Mrs. Vance, we pray that others too will come to know and to trust her Savior as their Savior too, we pray. Bless us now, we pray, as we come to Thy Word. O Lord, give help. Pour out Thy Spirit upon preacher, upon congregation alike. Give right words, give liberty, clarity, plainness of speech. Guide and direct our thoughts, we pray. And in everything that is said and done, glorify Christ. And as Christ is uplifted, may saints be blessed. May sinners be converted unto Thee. And may Thy kingdom be strengthened and extended in this part of Thy vineyard, we pray. in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Now, our text today is really the words of verse 16 and verse 17 of John's Gospel, chapter 14. In recent weeks and months in the morning service, we've been looking at some of the great promises of the Lord to His people as found in the Scriptures. And today, really, we want to look at the promise of the indwelling of the Spirit of God in the life of God's children, the promise of the indwelling of the Spirit of God in the life of the believer. And reference is made to that very truth in the words of our text here in verses 16 and 17, where Christ is speaking to His people, and He says, "And I will pray the Father, that He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Yes, today we come to the promise of the Holy Spirit dwelling the hearts of God's people. And Christ here makes reference to this wonderful promise in the words here of verses 16 and 17, our text of John chapter 14. In the Bible, we read about the Lord being above His people. We read also about the Lord being beneath His people, before His people, behind His people, around His people, and indeed with His people. But here in John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17, we read of the Lord dwelling in the very hearts of His people. You notice reference here is made in verse number 16 to the Comforter. The Comforter there is mentioned. And the Comforter is but another name, if you like, another title for the Holy Spirit, for the Holy Ghost. And it is through the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, that the Lord dwells in the hearts of those whom He saves. The hymn writer could rejoice of this great blessing, excuse me, and speak of this great blessing in their own life whenever they penned those words and said, "I'm rejoicing night and day. As I walk the pilgrim way, for the hand of God in all my life I see. And the reason of my bliss, yes, the secret all is this, that the Comforter abides with me." And there they were rejoicing in the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, abiding with them and dwelling with them in their hearts and lives. And again, the Lord makes mention of this very same promise back in the Old Testament book of Ezekiel, chapter 36 and verse 27. There the Lord, through Ezekiel, is speaking to His people. And He says, "I will put my Spirit within you and cause ye to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them." There the promise was given in the Old Testament to the people of God, as well as to the people of God in the New Testament. Now, whenever we talk about the Holy Spirit, we are speaking about the third person of the Blessed Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And you'll notice here that in our text that Christ here speaks of Him as a person. For in verse number 17 there of John chapter 14, He says, "He dwelleth with you." And as the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, is equal with God the Father, equal with God the Son in power and in glory. And my, we're told here how He is one who indwells all the hearts of God's people forever. Look again at what Christ says there at the end of verse 16 of John 14. He says that He, notice it, may abide with you forever. And the Holy Spirit indwells all the hearts of the people of God forever and ever. That is the mark of the child of God. Be they saved a long time, be they saved recently. And by the Holy Spirit is one who manifests Christ's presence among His people. And my, Paul the Apostle makes reference to that very fact in his letter to the church at Colossae, when he spoke to them and it says, "Christ in you, the hope of glory."
And now the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ was with them and manifest among them through the Holy Spirit dwelling and abiding in their hearts. And people, yes, the Bible, the Word of God shows us that the Holy Spirit indwells the hearts of God's people, indwells the hearts of all God's people for a specific ministry, for a specific purpose. And it is that ministry of the indwelling of the Spirit of God that I want us to look at today. What is the purpose? What is the ministry? The Holy Spirit indwelling the hearts of God's people. Well, first of all, I want you to see here that the Holy Spirit is the believer's teacher. Look at verse number 26 there of John chapter 14. Christ speaks there of the comforter, the Holy Spirit, and near the end of verse 26, he says to the disciples, he says, "He shall teach you all things." He is the teacher of his people. And when we are saved, yes, the Holy Spirit is our teacher. He is the one that can help us understand the great truths of the Word of God. You remember the words of Paul as he writes to the church at Corinth? In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, he speaks to them there about the things, he says, which God hath prepared for them that love him, speaking of the great blessings that the Lord has for his people. And then following on from that, in the very next verse, he says this, "But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit." And there he tells of the Holy Spirit being his teacher and the teacher of God's people in the church at Corinth. Again, think of the words of John the Apostle as he writes to God's people. He says, "But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things." Speaking there of the Holy Spirit. He says, "But that same anointing," he says, "teacheth you all things." And there John, he speaks of the Holy Spirit teaching God's people the very things of God. The hymn writer testified of that very same fact when they said, "Spirit of God, my teacher be." And believer in Christ in the meeting today, let me say this. Every time you come to read God's Word, every time you come to study God's Word, pray for the teaching and indeed the illuminating power of God the Holy Spirit. Follow the very example of the psalmist who prayed, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." That is something we should pray day by day when we come to God's Word in our personal lives. And indeed, when we come to God's house to sit under the ministry of God's Word, and as you come in and prepare yourself for the preaching of God's Word and pray, pray that God will open your eyes to behold wondrous things out of the law of God. How important that is, because the Holy Spirit is the believer's teacher. But then secondly, we can say further today that the Holy Spirit is the one who helps the believer remember God's Word. Look again at the latter part there of verse 26 of John chapter 14. The Lord says again to the disciples about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He says, "And he," notice it, "shall bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." And here the Lord was promising his apostles that he would bring to their mind all that they needed for the writing of the New Testament scriptures. You see, whenever the Lord's servants wrote the scriptures, their mind, indeed their writing, was guided by the Holy Spirit. It was not their words, it was not their thoughts that they put down. It was the words and the thoughts of the Lord. Peter reminds us of that very fact. Speaking of the scriptures, he says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." May the Lord, yes, brought to the remembrance of his apostles to their minds the things that they were to write as they were writing and completing the canon of Holy Scripture. But this promise also of remembrance also means that the Holy Spirit brings to our minds God's Word. Yes, he can remind us of God's Word to comfort us, to strengthen us, to give us wisdom, even to rebuke us when we go in a wrong path as a Christian. Turn with me in your Bible back to Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 10. And
Look with me, please, at verse number 19. Look at what the Lord here says to the disciples, emphasizing this fact that the Holy Spirit brings to the minds of his people the Word of God. He causes them to remember God's Word. Matthew 10, verse number 19, he says, and he's speaking here of the believer in a time of persecution, trial for their faith. He says, but when they shall deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you, notice it, in that same hour what ye shall speak. He's speaking there of the Holy Spirit, bringing to the minds of his people, his children, in times of trial, the remembrance of the Word of God. Yes, there have been times indeed in certain situations when the Christian has testified and they've said, yes, the Lord has given me a word. I'm sure you've often heard that from other believers. The Lord has given me a word. The believer, yes, and maybe a time of difficulty, trial, a time of searching, a time of a decision, whatever, have said, yes, I've gotten a word from the Lord. The Lord has given me a word. Perhaps that's the experience of one in our meeting today. You can look back to a specific time in your life when there was a need, there was a crisis, there was a situation. And you can say, yes, the Lord gave me a word then. I got a word from the Lord on that occasion. And you know, it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful blessing when the Lord speaks and the Holy Spirit reminds us of the Word of God and what the Lord says to us from his word. And that's what the Lord was implying there when he spoke to his disciples in Matthew 10, verse 19, that in a time of trial and persecution, the Lord would bring to their minds the Word of God to comfort them, to strengthen them, to guide them, to direct them. And can I say in that point, people, that's why it is so important that we read the Bible, that we get to know our Bibles, that we become familiar, and I don't say that lightly, but come to know what the Scriptures tell us and teach us. And again, that is why it is so, so important in children's work, in Sunday school work, that our children are not only taught the truths of God's Word, but they actually learn the Word of God verbatim, verse by verse, word by word. Because that which is learned into their hearts and their minds will stick with them, and as they grow up will be a blessing, a guidance, a strength, and an encouragement to them. I believe the learning of Scripture is vital in children's work and youth work, Sunday school work, how important it is that our children and our young people learn the Word of God. Because when it is learned, when it is in the mind, the time of need and the time of great trial, the Lord can bring that Word to their mind, to their remembrance, to comfort them, guide them, and direct them. We can say further here this morning that the Holy Spirit, yes, is one who helps the believer speak of Christ. Look at what is said there at the end of chapter 15 of John. John chapter 15, verses 26 and verse 27. Christ again is speaking here about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the lives of God's people. And he says, but the Comforter has come. And the Comforter has come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Notice there that the connection between witnessing and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You see, it is the Holy Spirit, it is he who helps the believer speak of Christ. Here we see, yes, how one of the main ministries of the Holy Spirit is to testify of Christ. He is the one who enables the Christian to witness of the Savior and to tell of Christ. And child of God, it is true, the Spirit of God, that you and I also can bear witness for Christ. And my, the Holy Spirit is not about exalting self. The work of the Holy Spirit is not about exalting self. It is not about exalting man. The minister of the Holy Spirit is not about exalting a church or a denomination. No, his work is to exalt Christ. Christ, the Son of God, that's his work, to exalt Christ through the witness of our lives as believers in our words and in our deeds. You think of how a mirror reflects light. Well, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, Christ can be seen in our lives and we can witness for Christ. You remember what the Lord said to his disciples before he ascended up into heaven?
He says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." He was telling them that they would be helped to witness for him through the Holy Spirit, his ministry in their lives. And daily as Christians, we should cry to God day by day that God would fill us with his Holy Spirit so that Christ would be seen in our lives, so that we might be an effective witness for Christ in our lives day by day as the people of God. Something else here to note, we can say in the fourth place that the Holy Spirit helps the believer evangelize the lost. Look again at what Christ says there in John chapter 16 and the verse number 8 of the chapter. He says, "But when he has come," that's the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, "he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." Here Christ is telling us how the Holy Spirit is one, yes, who convicts the ungodly of their lost, sinful condition. He is the one that makes the sinner concerned about hell and concerned about judgment to come. Yes, he is the one who convinces the sinner of his need of righteousness with God through faith in Christ as Savior. This is the work of the Holy Spirit, to help his people, help his church evangelize the lost. D.L. Moody was a great winner of souls in a bygone day. He saw multitudes converted to Christ, coming to Christ for salvation. He was a most zealous servant of God, but in all his ministry, he relied upon the power of the Holy Spirit. He could say, "There's not a better evangelist in the world than the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost himself." My, this is the work of God, the Holy Ghost. And child of God in the meeting house today, take encouragement from this. As you seek to serve the Lord in your life, be it in Sunday school work, children's work, youth work, giving out a gospel tract, open air ministry, witnessing in your workplace, your neighborhood, whatever, the Holy Spirit is one who comes alongside and has promised to help you evangelize the lost. He's our helper. Therefore, believer, as you serve the Lord, pray that in your service that the Holy Spirit would convict sinners of their sin. Pray that the Holy Spirit would put a concern within their heart and convince them of their need of Christ. That the Holy Spirit would take the scales from off their eyes and the dark shroud from off their heart. And that God, the Holy Spirit, would convert souls by the grace of God. And can I say, people, that is why the church prayer meeting is so important. That is why, Christian, you should be at your church prayer meeting, because it's there we seek the Lord for the work of our ministry, the work and the witness of our church, that we might know God's help, the power of the Holy Spirit in evangelizing the lost, so that sinners be convicted, convinced, and converted to Christ by the Spirit of God. Something else we can say further here. The Holy Spirit is one who guides the believer. Look with me, please, at John chapter 16 and the verse number 13. Look at what Christ says. He says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth." Notice that promise. He will guide you into all truth. And all through the Bible, from Genesis right through to Revelation, you have example after example after example of the Lord guiding and directing his people. In the book of Exodus chapter 13, you read there of the Lord guiding Israel through the wilderness. And how did he do it? By a pillar of cloud by day, by a pillar of a fire by night. And you can trace that all through the Old Testament, God guiding his people, leading his people along. And my, one of the great ministries of the Holy Spirit is to guide, to lead, and to direct the people of God and the very church of Christ herself. The Bible says in Romans 8 verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." There Paul speaks of the Spirit of God leading the children, the people of God. Turn with me in your Bible back to Luke's Gospel chapter number 2. Here you have an example of this very fact of the Holy Spirit leading his children. In particular, it was Simeon of old
saint of God, an aged saint of God at the time of Christ's incarnation. And look at Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, and verse number 26, verse number 27. And here we read of Simeon, it says, it was revealed unto him, God had shown him by the Spirit, by the Holy Ghost, that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. He was given this promise that he would not die and leave this world until he had seen Christ with his very eyes. Look at the next verse. Notice how God directed him. It says, and he came, it says, by the Spirit. Where did the Spirit of God lead him to? Notice it, and he came by the Spirit into the temple, to the place of worship, to the sanctuary of God, to the place where the Word of God is preached and read and proclaimed. The Spirit of God led him there and led him to meet with Christ. For it says, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. What a testimony this man Simeon had, led of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God didn't lead him away from the house of God or from the temple or the place of worship, no. The Spirit of God led him to the house of God, to the temple, to the place of worship, to the place of sacrifice, to the place where the people of God were gathered together. My, just as a map, just as a compass, just as a sat-nav guides a person when they travel, so believer, when it comes to choices and decisions in life, you can pray and you can ask God to lead you and to guide you and direct you by His Holy Spirit. And I tell you this upon the authority of all the Scriptures. When God the Holy Spirit guides you, it will always be in agreement with the Word of God. It will never, ever be in a path opposite to the Word of God. The Spirit of God never leads opposite to the Scriptures. And when the Spirit of God guides you, believer, the peace of God will abide in your heart. You will know the peace of God that passeth all understanding in your heart and in your soul when you're led and guided by the Spirit of God in accordance to the Word of God. Yes, your heart and your mind will be at rest on the matter when the Spirit of God leads you in His path in accordance with His Word. Something else we can say further here. The Holy Spirit helps the believer understand the prophecy of Scripture. Look at John's Gospel, chapter 16 there, and the verse number 13. Notice again what is said at the end of that verse, verse 13 of John 16. It says, He will show you, notice it, things to come, things yet to happen, things that are future. The promise here was that the Holy Spirit would help the apostles, yes, write the prophetic Scriptures telling them of the things that were yet to happen in this world. And likewise, Christian, it's by the Holy Spirit that you and I also as believers can have a right understanding and a right interpretation of a Bible prophecy regarding the future. Both the Old Testament Scriptures, indeed the New Testament Scriptures, tell us many things that will happen in this world at the end of time when Christ returns, and indeed as Christ returns in power, and in great glory. You have that in the Old Testament. You have it in the New Testament. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13, it speaks there of the Holy Spirit. It says, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And believer, it's by a prayerful reading of the Bible, comparing Scripture with Scripture. Not what man says, but comparing what God says. Comparing Scripture with Scripture, that the Holy Spirit will help us understand end time events and be a people who are ready, waiting, and watching for the return of Christ. Remember, the Holy Spirit is the author of the Scriptures. He's the best interpreter of the Scriptures. And by comparing Scripture with Scripture, God can direct you and give us an understanding of things yet to come as this world draws to a close and as we wait the glorious return of Christ. One final thought we want to set before you today, and it is this. The Holy Spirit helps the believer glorify Christ. Look there at John chapter 16 and the verse number 14. Look at how that verse begins. The Lord says, He shall glorify me. He shall glorify me. And there you see, the Holy Spirit always honors Christ. He always honors Christ. And He will make much of the person of Christ. He will make much of the very work of Christ. The work of the Holy Spirit is to glorify Christ. And when we are saved, what is our purpose in life? Well, we are to glorify Christ. The Bible says, whether therefore ye eat or drink, whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. We are to live to God's glory in our daily life, day by day, be it at the kitchen sink, be it on the farm, be it in the office, be it in the shop, be it in the school, wherever we are. The Catechism says man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Brethren and sisters in Christ, it is by the Spirit of God dwelling in our hearts that you and I can glorify Christ, bring glory to Christ, and honor the Lord. Therefore, it's important that we pray daily that God would fill us with the Holy Ghost. You turn over there to Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 18. And here Paul was writing to Christians, and he just wasn't writing to preachers here or ministers or pastors. He probably was writing to them, but much more than that, he was writing to Christians, husbands, wives, children, those who were bond slaves, those who were in intense bondage and servitude, those going through deep trials in their own personal life. But look at what he says to them in Ephesians 5, verse 18. He says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. How we are to pray day by day, come to the Lord and ask God to fill us with His Spirit that we might glorify Christ. Turn back again to Luke's Gospel, chapter number 11. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 11. And look at what Christ says here. And He's speaking to His own people, whom He has saved, whom He has redeemed. Verse 13 of Luke's Gospel, chapter 11. You study the preceding verses. It's all about being persistent in prayer, holding on to God in prayer, not giving up in prayer. Notice how Christ wraps it all up and brings it to a conclusion. In verse 13 of Luke 11, He says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Spirit to them that ask Him? There He's teaching us, He's telling us to ask God the Father for the infilling of the Spirit of God with power in our hearts and lives as the people of God. Can I say this is not a one-off asking? No. The original there in that verse 13 of Luke chapter 11 means a continuous asking. It's in the present continuing tense, day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, the child of God, the church of Christ, waiting before God, being persistent in prayers. It says there, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Dear people, this is what we are to pray for. This is what we are to ask as the people of God, because we need the Holy Spirit to help us to glorify Christ in our lives. Day by day. Oh, the ministry, the indwelling of the Spirit of God with power. Perhaps in the meeting this morning, you're unsaved. Let me say this, that if you are to live for God's glory on earth, if the Holy Spirit is to dwell in your heart, if you are to be saved from hell and sure of heaven, then as a repentant sinner, you must heed the gospel. Don't turn your back upon the gospel. Don't discountenance and say, that's not for me. No, heed the gospel. Hearken to the gospel. Repent of your sin. Turn to Christ. Confess your sins to Christ. And ask the Lord to save you and to cleanse you from all your sins and fit you for heaven. Man, woman, young person, boy or girl in the meeting today, this is what you need to do if you're still not saved. And I would urge you today, I would plead with you today, don't go out of the meeting rejecting the Lord, turning your back upon the Lord Jesus Christ, because God says, my Spirit shall not always strive with man. Turn over there to John's Gospel, chapter number 3. Here Christ is speaking to Nicodemus, a,
a very good, moral, upright man, a very religious man. He could dot all the T's and all the I's and stroke all the T's of the Jewish law, but he wasn't saved. And Christ said, you must be born again. And he showed him what it meant to be born again. Verse 14, verse 15 of John 3, he says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man, that's Christ, be lifted up on the cross. And whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life. This is the way to eternal life. The way to have peace with God. The way to know all your sins forgiven. By you repenting of your sins before God, confessing your sins to the Lord, coming to the Lord by faith, trusting Him as Savior, and inviting Him into your heart to be the Savior and the Lord of your life. And then by His help and power, by the power of His grace, by the power of His Spirit, you can live for the Lord wherever it is, whatever your circumstances may be. And the Lord will bless you. And the Lord will use you, child of God, for His honor and for His glory. We're going to close our meeting this morning by singing together the hymn number 169 in our own hymn book, just the final hymn in the order of service. Breathe upon us, Lord, from heaven. Fill us with the Holy Ghost, promise of the Father given. Send us now a Pentecost. And that's our great need today as God's people. That's the great need of the Church of Christ today, that we might know the outpouring of the Spirit of God upon us. 169, we'll keep our seats while our sister leads us in the organ in her praise, please.
Our Father and our God, we thank Thee, Heavenly Father, for Thy presence with us here in Thy house today. Write Thy word, Thy truth, Lord, upon every heart, from the youngest to the oldest. And Lord, as Your people, day by day, may we know what it is to be guided, directed, led, and filled with Thy Spirit, that Christ might be seen in us, that we would be hidden far behind the cross, and that Christ would be exalted, honored, and glorified in us and through us. O God, we pray for any today not saved out of Christ. O Lord, maybe perhaps in recent days the Holy Spirit has been working in their hearts. There's been a battle raging. We pray that today there'll be that yielding to Christ, that there'll be that seeking of the Lord for salvation. Oh, that they would not turn away from the gospel, from the only remedy for their soul, but may they receive Christ today and trust Him as their own and personal Savior. Part us with Thy fear and blessing. Take us to our separate homes and safety. Journey with us. Return us again in Thy will this evening hour. We pray and we ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen and amen.